A.
Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for July 1st in the year of our Lord, 2015. This is our one of two. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio on the tradition of our founding fathers. It's incredibly simple. We believe the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America, is the blueprint for liberty. We also believe the checks and balances wisely inspired by the Almighty put in place by our founders, the solution. We don't need a revolution, but we do need a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby on your radio. A quick recap of yesterday's broadcast, and then we'll launch into news the networks refuse to use for today. The issues we cover, tremendously important for the nation. The Supreme Court may have made Obamacare unconstitutional, new case alleges, according to WorldNet Daily. You know, I've been talking about this for several years, and I'm glad to see somebody file a case over this issue, but I don't believe it'll go anywhere. I believe it'll be just kind of that no man's land scenario. The no man's land scenario refers to, you know, the courts will say, well, it's an issue for Congress, and Congress will say it's an issue for the courts, and you'll never see a redress of grievance of any kind. Nevertheless, the court case wisely and correctly alleges, hey, you know what? The president and Congress, when they passed this thing, said it was not a tax, meaning Obamacare. It was not a tax. However, the Supreme Court said, yes, it is a tax. Fine. You can debate who's correct on that, but if it's not a tax, then the Supreme Court ruled incorrectly. And if the Supreme Court ruled incorrectly and it's not a tax, then fine, what is it? If, on the other hand, the Supreme Court did rule correctly and say, hey, we interpret this to be a tax, then the legislative reality would be tossed back to Congress and say, look, guys, this is a tax. You said it wasn't. You got to fix it. Well, the real rub is that all taxing legislation or all legislation of expenditure nature must originate in the House. Well, this did not originate in the House. It was in the Senate. Therefore, it's unconstitutional if it's really a tax because it did not originate in the House. So the battle's on. Will anything come of it? Don't know. Is the court case correct? The answer is yes. Did the Supreme Court make Obamacare unconstitutional? Yes. The problem that I see with this idea is it's coming so late in the game. Look, they created Obamacare in 2010. It got challenged in 2012 and 2015, and it's still abusing the people 5-plus years later. And if this court case continues and worms its way through the courts, then it might take a couple more years, you know, 7-8 years into the thing. The court just might even come back and say, well, you're right about it, but it's too late to do anything about it, kind of a thing. It's tragic, but nevertheless, at least right thinking is on the table. That's the good news. Rush Limbaugh says, get ready, polygamy is the new gay movement. There's no legal basis to stop it now. He's right about that, unfortunately. Now, we talked about polygamy a little bit here on the radio yesterday. And there's so many complicated words referring to polygamy and such like that. Kurt Crosby's with me. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, Kurt.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
And a listener emailed into me and said, Sam, polygamy literally means multiple husbands or multiple wives. It's not just multiple wives. And the listener's correct, Kurt. Are you familiar with all these words that govern all these terms, Kurt?
No.
Okay, well, you got to bone up on it, buddy. Polygamy is somebody who has more than one spouse. It could be husband or wife, okay? That's kind of important to understand, Kurt. Now, there is, there's polygamous, having a plurality of wives, polyandry, having a plurality of husbands. Polygamist is somebody who has multiple wives. So there's all these different terms, Kurt, that kind of govern a lot of this. And it's complicated because most people use a lot of that interchangeably. And so it's very confusing. But by the way, the listener is correct. And, you know, usually polygamy refers to men having multiple wives at the same time. However, it could be multiple wives or husbands. And I bring that up just because it's kind of an interesting note. But the point that Rush is making, and I would concur with this, hey, they want anything goes in marriage. And to me, it really violates the laws of God. That's the problem with it all, right? All right. Anyway, the listener is wise. We'll get into their comments a little later in the broadcast. Puerto Rico facing historic $72 billion default, says USA Today. Greece will default to the International Monetary Fund. They're working on a bailout, just as I told you they would. Two charged in flag removal at Capitol. We'll get into that because a listener emailed in about the flag. We'll get into the details. A protester climbed a 30-foot flag, removed the Confederate battle flag from its perch outside the South Carolina House on Thursday. Oh, I guess early Saturday morning. Controversial new California bill says no kid exempt from vaccinations for religious beliefs. Census says there are more minority children now than whites. More whites are dying than even being born. They're not replacing themselves. The watchdog IRS workers mistakenly deleted or erased Tea Party emails. That was all in 1 hour of Liberty Roundtable Live. Second hour, listener Art chimes in and says, hey, murder with knife. They say murders are expanding or increasing over in the UK with knives because they don't have guns anymore, right? So UK urges save a life, surrender your knife campaign. Police agencies are having a harder time hiring and retaining officers. We drilled into that a little bit. Teens are also creating smart condoms that glow in the dark to indicate if a person has an STD or sexually transmitted disease. Rand Paul shut down the government marriage racket. Supreme Court ruling prompts plunging respect for the courts from skeptical Americans. This ruling by the five lawyers is no law at all, says Matt Staver. He's chief attorney for the Liberty Council, a good friend of ours. Sexual relationships between inmates and prison employees are fairly common. Statistics show as well. So we covered a lot of ground on yesterday's broadcast, and we'll just launch right into news the networks refuse to use today. First story is California mandates vaccinations in its government schools, Kurt.
Yep. Well, it's at least in my opinion, it's a sad time when we see more and more freedoms eroded.
It's a sad time, Kurt, in a way. I agree. On the other hand, if Americans leave the state of California and or reject government school, maybe it's a positive.
Well, it's a great point, Sam. I don't know if I could.
I mean, I get your point, you know, though, is that it's no doubt a massive loss of freedom. But again, not enough Americans are standing up against it, Kurt. So let the tyranny roll on, huh? Now, our listener Lowell emails in, Kurt, regarding this scenario. We talked yesterday about this lady who got in climbing gear and climbed the flagpole, took down the flag and all that kind of stuff. And I said, I just don't believe the scenario the way we hear the cops tell it. And he had a different take on the matter, and I'm going to give you his take, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. I think he's got some valid points to make, is the reason I bring it up. On Liberty Roundtable this morning, meaning yesterday, you talked about the woman in South Carolina who climbed the Capitol flagpole. And he basically said, look, you complained saying how could she get down and then send an email. She could have had somebody else send the email timed perfectly and or had an automatic preset email to send before she got arrested. In other words, she could have scheduled it to send knowing approximately the time when she would be arrested. In other words, it's possible that the email was sent while she was being arrested. Plus, at 6 in the morning, not many people are out and about, so scaling the pole that early in the day might be quite possible without attracting too much attention. In other words, I didn't find anything about the story that was unbelievable, he says. I'm glad they put the flag back up immediately. He said, I hope the legislature does not remove it. He said, I think she wanted to be arrested to make the story bigger in the media. Otherwise, she would have stolen the flag under the cover of darkness of night so that no one even knew that she took it until it was already gone. Then they wouldn't have known who took it. Thanks, Lowell. Now, I agree with Lowell's points in that it's possible that she really could have got there early in the morning. People didn't really realize, or maybe she put on some climbing gear right before she went up there. You know, I don't know the details, and I'm not saying that every detail is or is not correct, and I'm not here to challenge every detail as if I know. Here's what I find fascinating. The cops did notice when she was halfway up the pole. Now, Kurt, I don't know how long it would take you once you're, like, there in climbing gear to jump on the pole and start climbing up, but somehow, all of a sudden, a cop found out. Now, it's only a 30-foot flagpole. How long do you figure it would take you to climb up from, like, whatever, ground zero to halfway, Kurt, 15 feet up with climbing gear?
How 30 long seconds? Would it take me?
Well, just somebody with climbing gear.
I don't know.
Well, the whole thing's 30 feet, Kurt. We'll talk about it. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Live and on your radio. So I understand what Lowell's saying. Lowell's saying, hey, it would have been pretty easy at 6 in the morning on a Saturday for that person to have climbing gear either available and put it on quickly and or not be too noticed. For example, maybe you had a coat over the climbing gear. Who knows? And all that, and I agree with every bit of that. A, the email could have been sent out by somebody else simultaneously and or timed to go out automatically. I agree with Lowell on all that. However, here's the problem that I have. I don't know how long it takes once you jump on that flagpole to climb it. Hey, Kurt, you think you can climb a foot a second?
Well, my problem is it's vertical. If it was horizontal, then
well,
I
Well, Kurt,
could
all
really
flagpoles are vertical,
better.
Sir. And climbing gear is used for vertical climbs, just so
and
you
that's
know.
That's where I'm a little vertically challenged.
All know. Right, so Kurt can't figure it out at all, ladies and gentlemen. I'm submitting that you could at least climb a foot a second. Okay, that would be 30 seconds if it's 30 feet tall. And I submit to you that with climbing gear, you can climb way faster than a foot a second. But nevertheless, this cop didn't notice anything, but when she got halfway up the flagpole, not only did he notice, but he got over there and said, "Hey, ma'am, you got to come down from there," and she blatantly ignored him. Then she went up the flagpole, took the flag down, and secondly, now I don't know about all the conversation that went on. I don't know what the truth is. I'm just telling you that the idea that this lady got on the grounds, had climbing gear, climbed this thing, ignored the cops, took down the flag, and it had to be put up later by somebody else. At some point, I just don't buy the whole narrative to go national in the mainstream press. I still don't buy it. I agree that some of Lowell's points are factual, that, you know what, it could be just as he says. I just don't necessarily, when you see stories that all the elements are too perfect, hey, she got the flag down, and just so you know, there was a bunch of people saying, now that the flag's down, let's leave it down. And, okay, all these different pieces to the pie are telling a story of propaganda, Kurt, in my opinion. And what I mean by that is the story didn't need to go national. How did all of a sudden these mainstream press people pick up on it and carry it? How did the cops not notice, but then they noticed, but they didn't get her down? Or say, ma'am, we're going to come up after you, or I don't even know. All I'm telling you is every element of the story is designed to promote the idea that, hey, we're taking down the flags and you can't stop us. And so I don't disagree with Lola on some of the points, but I will say that she tried to create maximum, as Lola finished up, attention for this. And I'm saying every element turned that into a national news story for an agenda is my whole point. Could some of the details have been as described? Maybe. It just seems so preposterous, though. So there you have it. Kurt, any other comments on that? I see Lowell's points, and I don't disagree with them, but I'm just telling you that when they want a story to go mainstream, what if I went and put up a flag somewhere? Think it'd hit mainstream? You think it'd go so smoothly? You think all the elements to make it go viral would be there? I just don't think so. I'd be ignored in the mainstream press. So there's an agenda afoot to tell a tale and to push a narrative was the whole point of bringing it up. And I think that the facts, if we really were to dig into it, wouldn't really have been exactly as we were told, per se. At the least, it was kind of a funny story that I just felt like, man, it's very strange details on that. So there you go. Any other thoughts on that, Kurt?
Not really.
There you go. He says, I'm glad they put the flag up immediately. And I hope the legislature does not remove it. And I agree with both those statements, too. I think she wanted to be arrested to make the story bigger in the media is what listener Lowell says, too. And I think he's right on that point. And what I'm telling you is she sure got a lot of help in getting that done, no matter what the facts are, didn't she, Kurt?
Yes.
She got a lot of help in getting that done. And I believe if it was a narrative different from the, quote, politically correct narrative, I doubt it would have got that far is my whole point. So there you have that. I find that kind of interesting, at least. It's just amazing all that we cover. Now, he says, otherwise she would have stolen the flag under the cover of darkness of night without anybody knowing who did it. I agree. She would have done that. And then the mainstream press could have had a story that, man, flag's coming down, no one knows who did it. Or they could have put a flag up and not even had a story about it. But anyway, it's interesting the stories that they pick. All right, Kurt, we also talked about marriage in detail. And basically, Kurt, you were advocating to get government 100% out of marriage. And I was saying I don't disagree with your general premise that we've got serious problems. I'm not so sure that I'm ready to get government out of marriage 100%. I think the more local we take it, the better. I think the less regulation to some degree, the better. I don't think there's a role for the federal government to be involved in marriage. However, there's an interesting article that I got, or that I found. I found it kind of by mistake, actually, but I did find it, and it does relate. And it says this: let's not get government out of marriage. There's this guy named Brian Fisher. And Brian Fisher is with AFA Radio, Kurt. And he has some pretty interesting comments about government and marriage. And what he basically points out, and by the way, this article was written October 15th, 2014. So it's been around for a while. Now, this guy's host of Focal Point Radio, by the way, Kurt. And Brian basically says this. It is altogether right for the state to grant natural marriage special protections in law. You see, a number of well-meaning and well-intentioned Christians have been arguing now that we ought to get government out of the marriage business altogether. It should not be any rules relating to government and religion, so since it's a religious matter, government shouldn't be involved at all. Rand Paul might even campaign for the White House on this premise, they say. There are two profound problems with this view. The first is that recognizing, affirming, and defending natural marriage is indeed, in fact, the proper role for the state. Let's not forget that according to Romans 13, civil government is God's idea, not man's. The authority that civil government possesses, every last bit of that authority, has been delegated to government by God through the people. There is no authority whatsoever except the authority of God. And those that exist have been established. Now, they also then talk about, in an often overlooked verse that touches directly on the proper role of government, political authorities are to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. So if that's the case, then government should be praising good, right, honorable, God-given marriage and reject perversions thereof. Now that's 1 Peter 2:14, etc. Or 1 Peter 2:14. Government, then by God's design, continues this author, and intention is not to be neutral on issues of morality. It's not to be a bystander in the culture war, but rather to stand and support that which is good. The side that government has been instructed to take is the side of what is right and good. It's my responsibility to know the difference between good and evil and to promote or reward the good while punishing the latter. We know that natural marriage, that's one man, one woman marriage, is a good and right, honorable thing designed by God for our benefit. It promotes companionship, sexual intimacy, and procreation. It is the state's proper role and right then to defend this God-given institution. And then I'm going to add my own notes, especially in a country that was designed to look at God's law for guidance, not government edict. So when government defines marriage as the union between one man and one woman and prohibits the recognition of immoral type perversions, then it is doing what it ought to do. It is doing its divinely ordained thing. It's doing what it's supposed to do as a minister of God. It is doing what God designed it to do. More details in seconds. Liberty Roundtable, live.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation. and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
If you want to experience the great outdoors in comfort and style, then you need products from Teton Sports. For any of your camping, hiking, or outdoor needs, Teton Sports has top-of-the-line products for any adventure. Our sturdy and lightweight Wilderness 55 backpack has a built-in rain fly and plenty of compartments and pockets, perfect for hiking the mountains or a weekend camping trip. And our zero-degree sleeping bag features Superloft Elite 4-channel hollow fiber insulation for warmth, as well as right and left side zippers to let you zip two Teton bags together. With an adjustable mummy hood and interior storage pockets, our sleeping bags are the best on the market. Teton Sports is all you need for any outdoor adventure. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman Warehouse, or Wholesale Sports. And next time you're preparing for an adventure, think of Teton Sports.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
So we're talking about an article that a guy by the name of Brian Fisher wrote. Brian Fisher happens to be host of Focal Point Radio. It's an American Family Association broadcast. He says, let's not get government out of marriage. And he basically explains that the government's supposed to support God's laws in terms of that which is right. And the government is supposed to pick moral sides and stand on its moral compass. And that's the difference between America and other countries that just rely on the dictates or guidance of man. Then he continues and says, if these so-called Christian libertarians want to get government completely out of marriage, what they're really doing is temporarily getting government out of marriage, but really inviting government into the family. Why? Because divorce happens when when a marriage tragically falters. Someone with quote authority needs to determine who gets what property, who gets what part of what pension, whether alimony will be assessed, who will get custody of the children. There's no chance that the state will literally stay out of that discussion. Those life-altering decisions will have the state or some authority as part of it. And you know what? How can a legal divorce be granted if there's no legal marriage to begin with? It's fine to say we'll just have the church perform weddings and keep the state out. But then the question is, does the church get to decide who keeps the house, who keeps the kids, who pays who money, or how do you? Well, the state will have to insert itself into such matters whether Christians like it or want it or not. It is the proper role of the state, using the authority that God has granted to it. And it is altogether right for the state to define marriage as one man, one woman. And it is altogether appropriate for the state to grant special rights to the marriage covenant as the optimal nurturing environment for children to be brought into the world. Let's not keep the state out of marriage, he says. Instead, let's work to see that it uses its God-given authority to stand for that which is right. let's defend and stand for the institution that's the bedrock of any civilization. In fact, our very future depends on it. Anyway, then it finishes and says, unless otherwise noted, the views and opinions are the authors and not necessarily, anyway, the website, etc. Now, I don't bring this up as a way to prove that I'm right in the discussion with Kurt at all. In fact, I don't know that I agree with the author on it completely either. I think that this is open for debate. I haven't really made up my mind as exactly how this ought to go down and who ought to be involved where, what, how, why. Because contractually, the government does have authority or involvement in contractual disputes. If a contract is created by two people, hey, there is an appropriate government that said, hey, bring it to the courts and we'll make sure that contracts are honored. There is an appropriate government responsibility for this, and isn't this the king of all contracts? I agree with those points, but I disagree with the idea that it's the federal government's purview, to meddle in these affairs. Isn't it a state and or a local issue? And so there's some debate about how it all goes down. And the reason that it's important, Kurt, is there's a lot of organizations that are talking about getting the state completely out of marriage entirely. And you know what? It's something that I've never even contemplated before in politics. And it's hard to form an opinion on something when it's just thrown upon you in 1 second. It's like, okay, I don't know that I even understand all the parameters. I haven't thought through this thing completely because I never even thought it would be a possibility or a discussion in our society this quickly. So do you want to add to that, Kurt? That was just an interesting article that I found. I'm not necessarily agreeing with all the points that Brian makes. He wants to not keep the state out of marriage, but instead, hey, have the state use its God-given authority to defend the institution that's the bedrock of any civilization. Our very future depends on it. Any other thoughts on that, Kurt?
You know, it's at least it seems like it's been covered, like you say, and it's something we haven't really thought much about simply because... Hey, I guess you could say it wasn't really on the table, but...
maybe it was to the gay and lesbians, but to normal thinking people, it was just something that was so bedrock, as this guy points out. Mm-hmm. I don't even know that I thought about it, Kurt, in that way at least.
Yeah, and I do understand the idea of, you know, the state protecting children and that, you know, all that kind of stuff. My problem is that, man, anytime the state tries to... fix something.
They messed it up. No question.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with your points at all. So I'm not taking sides, and I didn't bring up this article to say, hey, Kurt's wrong, and here's the nailing with the... I'm just saying I don't know all the answers for this thing. I need to think through a little bit more. My hunch is that he's right. There is going to be a need to some degree for government to be involved, especially when things start to go to court. You know, God made marriage, Kurt, and in a perfect world, if we obey God's laws, there would be no divorce, right? However, when you insert man into the middle and people get divorces, at some point will there be some type of adjudication of exactly how it should go down? Or will it just be left to, you know, the churches? Or will it be left to the family? Or will it be left to just, hey, whoever's, you know, can fight over the kids? I mean, at one point, what point if people get divorced and there's no courts to adjudicate what goes down or any of those kind of things? Or let's say that there needs to be some kind of a restraining order against somebody if somebody's violent or somebody's whatever, somebody's stolen a bank account. You know, at some point, the government's going to be called into these things. And when can it be called in and what basis would then it adjudicate or rule from? You know, there's some battles to be had there and some discussions that I don't think they're as easy as we think they are. But I mentioned yesterday, and I think, Kurt, you and I would completely agree with this. And I think this should be the starting point for a discussion regarding this. And that is this. Whenever people obey the laws of God, Kurt, things are really simple. Whenever people disobey the laws of God, there's just trouble and there's not any good answers. Yeah, do you want to add to that, Kurt?
That's basically the bottom line, at least that I can see. When you have a reliance upon the giver of all the blessings we receive, and also the giver of commandments, not suggestions, then, you know, I think things typically go pretty well.
Yeah, anyway, I kind of felt like that was at least a critical point to make because, no matter how you feel on it, no matter what conclusion you've come to, whether it's to you kind of a discussion that you're just not quite prepared for, I'll be honest, I'm not really. I'm not really prepared to answer all or have all the solutions to that just yet. I haven't even thought through it really very much. I just hate to see anybody surrender in supporting traditional marriage. And if the state gets out of it, to some degree, the state surrendered, right? We cannot let evil prosper. I know that. We got to stand for what's right, and we got to stand. However, I'm not going to stand for the federal government to be involved in my marriage or my family. So, the balance need to be there and where and how and what and why. And all I can tell you is a lot simpler. A lot of people are believing this is a great secession issue, Kurt. If there was an issue to secede over, this is it. Hey, man, they won't let us have our flag. A moment in history. They want to force us to have government health care, and man, they want to get in the middle of our marriages. It's time to just say bye-bye to the feds. They're out of control. They don't represent us. What do you think of that, Kurt?
Well, I know that the issue of secession is not to be, dealt with lightly or whatever, but I do agree that, if we're all about freedoms and choices and, et cetera, then, that's one of the cool things about America is, number one, for example, you have all these political jurisdictions or divisions, and so if you're a county sheriff or your county or even state individual is just kind of out of control, you can, pull up stakes and head somewhere where there's more freedom. At least we have that, and at least the way I understand it, the states were also, they combined their, resources, but efforts to make the union at first, and it sure seems like if we're so pro-choice and we allow for freedoms, etc., that people ought to be able to, secede, or in other words, not continue that union. Now, it's, I mean, that's all part of freedom. Sometimes it ticks you off, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it's a good point. And, a lot of people say, well, we may not secede over this, but it's a point to push for sure. Individuals could just flat out resign as county recorders or in governmental positions and say, I'm not going to do that. It violates my beliefs. And if enough people stood up, Kurt, you might make it mandated by the courts, but DOA in reality, huh? I would support an idea like that for sure. In fact, there's some people doing that across the country right now. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you could take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again,
Inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211 or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Kurt, emails are coming in from listeners on this marriage thing. One listener says, hey, let me say that I stand with the LDS Church on their marriage declaration. So that's kind of cool. This listener also basically said, hey, I think the lack of white children being born is a, well, it's materialism and selfishness. They have to have two cars before two kids. They got to have the corner office and the vacation. Today, most women want careers in their 20s and don't want children until they're, well, almost not able to have them. And then they want to have all kinds of Frankenstein methods to have children later in life, and then they're surprised when it doesn't happen. The Bible says God opens and closes the womb. And, you know, people are just kind of surprised when they use technology to slam the door in God's face. But then when the women are ready, they're surprised that, hey, God doesn't just open the womb. So, you know what? I think that listener's correct on that completely, Kurt, in that, hey, you know, God said to multiply and replenish the earth. And it's no doubt God is in charge of such things. I find that important to understand. Now, the next point that was made is this. Divorce is government saying that a contract entered voluntarily saying till death do us part is not valid. Can the government really say that? If you make a contract, Kurt, with somebody that says till death do you part, can government just say, oh, we're going to help you circumvent that? We used to have to show some kind of an abuse or find fault in divorce. Severe penalties would be assessed for violating the marriage, like violating any other contract. Now it's no-fault divorces. You can get divorces easier than a hamburger, kind of an idea. Few other contracts need government at the beginning. No state has any marriage contract that can't be easily broken in, quote, no-fault divorces. And so this listener basically says, I think we ought to create covenant marriages, Kurt. I'm all for a movement that creates what they call covenant marriages that would have the old, you got to have, you know, somebody at fault, some abuse, some literal reason for the safety of people to break the contract. Jesus said, don't give holy things to gods. Don't cast your pearls before swine. I wouldn't give holy matrimony to government either. And you would have a Bureau of Marriage with all the features of the BLM and the IRS at the helm, right in the center of the family. You know, TZ in this case, Kurt, is absolutely right. So now I give the other side of the argument. I'm not trying to pick sides here, Kurt, as much as I am at this point trying to vet the issue a little bit and focus on some of the weightier matters of the discussion. Just imagine if you had the state at the helm of this discussion. A marriage bureau or whatever you want to call it. It'd be a disaster. Okay? So where does government get off being in the center of this, and why does government think they need to be involved, and how do you get government out of it but have sanity, et cetera? And I think that the reality is it's true. You know what? We need to have covenant marriages. The problem is, again, the covenant marriage relies on looking to God for guidance, and wicked people don't do that is the rub, the problem. However, I support the idea of a covenant marriage, Kurt, where people would have a whole lot easier time being required to uphold their marriage vows and be true to them than I would create quick no-fault divorce laws. Anyway, you want to add to that, Kurt? That's just kind of the other side of the debate that I think has serious weight also.
Well, it sure is nice to have folks chiming in and letting us know what they feel like. And, you know, on the whole marriage thing, man, there's a whole bunch more written there from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I was reading more last night, I guess some... you know, there's some letters going out to the local officials that will be read in the congregations both this Sunday or the next. You know, so there's a lot coming, and people have to stand up and see, you know, where they are, and, you know, go from there, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Anyway, I agree with the point, though, that we got to have a whole lot harder time getting divorces, Kurt, and there needs to be some kind of weightier matter put to that in like a covenant marriage would be. I agree with that point, and I agree part of the problem is we've made divorces too optional. Hey, you know, she's not pretty like she used to be. She's getting older. Or, oh, you know what? We used to have great sex, and now we know, and I'm out of there. And I don't mean to make light of these things, but I'm saying, you know, we tend to just be so selfish in our assessments. We need to look at children. We need to look at the reason we decided to marry that person in the first place. And we need to really learn to work through things. And divorce shouldn't just be a drive-through scenario. Or it shouldn't be, oh, man, for the female or the male or whatever, I can win this much, or I can get this much if I divorce them and get this much in payments and have all the benefits of the money. And okay, we need to look at things differently in terms of why they got married. And instead of just marriage for selfish reasons, we need to look at marriage as, you know what, I have an allegiance to the children and to the person that I married, and I have an obligation. And we need to tie people to that obligation more. And so what about just returning to the older laws, which said, hey, there will be fault divorce. You're going to have to prove abuse or prove something, or we're not letting you out of this till death do you part contract. If the government's job is to uphold contracts, then they would have to do that. So really the question becomes, how do you keep it on the local level? How do you honor covenants and contracts and turn it more into a covenant marriage? But how do you make sure the government doesn't become Frankenstein in the family? Kind of an idea. How do you strike all those balances? And I agree with the listener TZ's point. We need to make them more covenant marriages and God's institutions rather than government-created, controlled, manipulated contracts of convenience is what I would say. So I don't disagree. TZ's right, Kurt. And so I'm not trying to pick sides. I see Brian's point. I see TZ's point. I support a lot of both of their points. I just come back to this, man, when people don't obey the laws of God, I don't know that there's great answers. But I support more of a, oh, covenant marriage. And I guess I would even say that members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Kurt, the Mormons get married civilly, if you will. In other words, till death do you part type of marriages be a government contract. So legally and lawfully they're wedded. But they also then go into the Mormon temples and are sealed for time and for all eternity. In other words, they have eternal marriages. They make the commitment above and beyond till death do you part. And I submit, if you want a covenant marriage, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. So do you want to add to that at all, Kurt? You know, that's the ultimate covenant marriage, isn't it?
Yeah. You know, and it's interesting how Mormons or members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, to me, are sometimes portrayed as... well, uncaring towards women, et cetera. And yet, you know, if you're willing to make a covenant, an agreement with one for time and all eternity, it seems like pretty good size.
I'll never leave you. I'll love you forever. I'll work it out together. Yeah. We'll stand before God side by side. Sounds pretty abusive to the girls, isn't it, Kurt? not. See, it's the ultimate commitment, if you ask my opinion. It's what a, I mean, if a girl dreams about having a husband and living happily ever after, ooh, now that's it, I'm telling you right now. All right. Anyway, the largest women's organization in the whole world is the Relief Society and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, by the way. And you ask those women if they're downtrodden and let them speak for themselves is all I would respond. I don't even need to answer for them, Kurt. They're plenty capable of answering for themselves of what they feel, right? And the vast majority of those women say it couldn't get any better than this. All right, Jim Carrey. Well, no, let's go to probate judges. It fits the hour, Kurt. Probate judges are in the news, huh?
Well, yeah, the headline from the AP, probate judges opposed to gay marriage stand firm. I guess Dateline Troy, Alabama, they say couples, they say gay couples, can petition, protest, and even sue, but that won't change probate judge Wes Allen's mind. He's not issuing them marriage licenses despite a U.S. Supreme Court ruling that marriage is a constitutional right equally held by all Americans. He's a probate judge in Pike County. A county in southern Alabama with a population of about 33,000. He's among a handful of public officials across the Bible Belt that are so repulsed by the thought of enabling a same-sex marriage that they're defying the U.S. Supreme Court and refusing to issue a license to anyone, gay or straight.
And that's kind of where I think the line should be drawn in the sand on this too, Kurt. If you happen to be a probate judge, if you happen to be a court recorder, or you happen to be some of these people that would perform some of these marriages, all you got to do is quit your government position and say, you know what, I'm not doing that. What if you literally had, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands quit across the country and say, we're not doing it? Just like your idea about taking a Bible into school, what are they going to do about it, Kurt?
Amen to that, Sam.
All right. So, you know, that may be one of the answers there. I don't even know that I'd call it civil disobedience, because I believe the courts are involved in civil disobedience, personally. There you have it. The debate rages on. 1 hour of Liberty Roundtable live in the can. You want to turn your phone into a radio, listen anywhere, anytime, anywhere, or I'm sorry, any phone? All right, smile and dial 712-432-5339. That's 712-432-5339. LibertyRoundtable.com for live and on-demand radio free. Unique columnist content available now free as well. Click on Help Us Grow if you want to be part of the solution and support us financially today. Every penny will be used to grow our presence in the media. We're also live and on demand on the Roku player. Look in the special interest section for the Liberty News Radio channel. We the people can restore America, ladies and gentlemen. Will you help us? LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.